Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. We're getting closer to this election.
Yeah.
Did you happen to watch the debate?
Well, I saw the highlights of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. No.
What I found very interesting in that debate, first of all, kudos to it being somewhat controlled. There wasn't a lot of fighting.
That's right.
Second part to that is the only political issue they brought up for people who are transitioning to living retirement was long-term care.
Right.
Yes, there are concerns of this demographic with their children, so I get that. But how do you improve health care, mental health care? How do you mitigate the tax issues that are coming in the future? Like, all these issues were not discussed. So it's not an election topic, which surprises me.
Right.
Which surprises me. So I think given that headline of, you know, what these politicians are talking about, what I got out of it was uncertainty.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting word you use because, I mean, this is topical and it is top of mind for most people. But listen, there's a ton of other uncertainty, right? It's not just around what tax laws might look like and our political future might look like, but we're moving into September.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So September, from a market perspective, historically, if you look at the data, is often the toughest market conditions, right?
Yep.
You got uncertainty there. You've just got transitioning, just a general transition into retirement. That's scary in and of itself, right? There's just a whole bunch of things going on.
Let me add one more to the uncertainty list that you're building here. The Bank of Canada this week came out and said, you know, this tapering of bonds, we're going to change the program a bit. So here's what started it off, just for those to kind of catch up to what we're kind of discussing here. The Bank of Canada, along with other central bankers, basically stimulated the economy in two ways. One, they were purchasing bonds in the bond market so they can release more capital, cash, in the economy so it becomes more liquid, fluid, faster.
And keep rates down and they can have some influence.
Yeah. That was a second thing. They lowered interest rates. Yeah. So what they can do is lower short-term interest rates, play with the bond market, give more stimulus or a boost to the economy. Now, for a while now, we've been saying, and we've been hearing from experts on this show, that the tapering that they're going to do will lead to higher interest rates. They will raise interest rates after they taper.
Right.
The Bank of Canada said, put this one on the Dave Popowich uncertainty list. We are going to raise interest rates before we taper.
Right.
Well, that kind of just surprised a bunch of people, me included.
Right.
Which tells me they're not going to give us much warning of what's going to happen.
Yeah. And are they going to lead the U.S. Federal Reserve on this?
And by how much?
Right. What effect will that have on the currency markets, right?
So think of currency impact, think of fixed income impact, think of equities impact, think of real estate impact, think of the economy and people who are borrowing money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all impacts or uncertainty.
Uncertainties.
And this is where I think having a proper strategy in place that look at those risks and have plans for those risks.
Well, the other thing, Faisal, is it's dynamic too, right? These uncertainties could be different uncertainties a month from now, right? So maybe the Bank of Canada changes its language again, who knows? But the point is that there's ranges that we have to, we always talk about best case, worst case, and base case scenarios that you've got to continue to have in order to be able to navigate this. Things change too much, right? It's too dynamic and fluid a situation to think that as of today, we know the playbook. As of today, we have a base case, right? And then we understand that there is uncertainty that can be introduced, not just at a macro level, but on a personal level
Correct.
For people as well. And you've got to be, the strategy has to be fluid enough to be able to adapt to those things.
Yeah,
right?
And I think, well, one of the listeners of the show called me up this week and was saying, you know, you guys talk about these investment pillars, these five pillars you have. Faisal, I'm all in the stock market.
Right.
There's no need to have bonds. There's no need to have alternatives. I'm all in the stock market. I'm doing very well, have been for a while now.
Yep.
And I go, what if something goes wrong? And he literally froze. He didn't have an answer of what he would do in the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
If things get better than they are right now, his portfolio is going to do well.
Yep.
And if it's doing what it's doing now, it's doing pretty good.
Right.
But what if something goes wrong?
Right.
And he didn't have a response for that. I go, so let's think of some of the risks that are out there. So this whole Delta variant, COVID, vaccination issue, could that cause a problem to your portfolio? He's like, yeah. What about taxes and the new political agenda that's going around globally?
Yep, interest rates going up.
What other things that are you thinking about that's happening? I go, what's your plan?
Right.
And he looked at me and said, I just hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Hope's not a strategy. We've discussed that.
Right. And so this is when people look at a portfolio and say, well, why do we have those terrible bonds that aren't making any money? Or why do you have in our portfolio an alternative investment that's designed to protect against inflation? It's not making any money right now.
Yeah.
The market's making money. Put your money there.
Equities, yeah.
It's the what if. It's the uncertainty. So the more you see the economy growing faster and faster, you can definitely put more money in equities. But you have to be humble enough to know that things could go wrong. And how do you protect the downside?
Yeah, and so I don't even object to the idea that he's all equity. The problem, the concern when I heard about that conversation was that there is no answer to what if. What if something happens,
correct,
right? Listen, you can be all equities if you're whatever, if that's what you want to do. But you got to understand what you're going to do if equities decide to tumble because, you know, we get a taper tantrum again and they fall by 20 or 30% like the fourth quarter of 2018.
When happens people like that. Don't, Dave, when people don't have an understanding of the worst case scenario,
right,
or their understanding of what the risks are out there,
right,
then you can't predict what the downside risk to your money is.
Right.
And then that's the shock.
Right. And so we talk about this, you and I, and you call me the chicken on the team, and it's true because I'm just older and more beat up than you are, and you're a lot prettier than I am, and all those things, all those reasons why I'm a chicken. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at how institutional money is run, big money, pensions, those kinds of things, those organizations work to a risk level. They decide collectively on what level of risk they're prepared to take.
First.
They design then the portfolio around that risk level, and they look for ways to best maximize return given the risk they're prepared to take on, right? Now, again, I don't begrudge anybody that says, I'm a 100% equity person, okay? What risk level? Within equities, there's lots of different kinds of equities, right? So we always forget about the risk side, right? Particularly when things are good.
Yeah.
And that's why we always say, huh, are you being set up right now for some pain in the future? Because things don't always just go up, right? They do fluctuate.
And this is where I'll always say, when things are volatile, losing less is actually making more.
You protect your downside, right?
And we're going to discuss that at our upcoming seminar.
Yep.
At this seminar will be the first one after the election.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to talk about that impact. We're going to talk about the impact of volatility and the concerns that we have going forward. It's not all rosy and pretty looking forward.
That's right.
There are risks that you need to account for, put a probability of it happening on the table, and then have a strategy to address those risks so you can lose less. That means you're going to make more over time.
Right.
These are the concerns. And so we're going to do that for all of you who want to join us on Tuesday, September 21st, 7 p.m. live online. Now, you need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Could you have a prenuptial agreement in place and still lose everything? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.